Amen. Thank you, Harris family. The Word of God is the Bible. Well, let's open our Bibles. Let's find Philippians chapter 4, and let's begin with verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. In Acts 16, Paul was led of the Holy Spirit to Philippi and established a work there with a good deal of opposition. And then later he's in prison in Rome and he's inspired to write this letter to the believers in Philippi. And though it's a prison epistle, the sense of it is joy. You'll find the word joy, rejoice, rejoiced, rejoicing, 14 times in four chapters. And so I've been endeavoring to preach on Wednesday evenings, rejoicing in Christ. I'm not endeavoring to exposit each verse and all the passages individually, and for this week I've skipped a good bit of good material, but I want to get to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and I would say that's really the key verse to the book, rejoice in the Lord. Circumstances do not always inspire us to rejoice. Things are difficult, and sometimes there are problems, there's opposition and trouble in this old world, but rejoice in the Lord, in the Lord. I remind you of David. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, David came to Ziklag, and David was distressed. The 600 soldiers were distressed. Ziklag lay burning in ruins, and their families were gone, and David was greatly distressed. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I remind you of Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8, there's preaching, and the people of Jerusalem are greatly convicted. But in verse 10, Nehemiah said, "This day is holy unto the Lord our God. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now watch it. Rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know Him as Savior, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Now watch this. Rejoice in the Lord always. Isn't that interesting? Always. You'll find in the traditional text of your King James Bible the word always and the word alway. And the commentaries will tell you they mean the exact same thing. Well, then why is there a difference? Always means perpetually. But alway means as you continue. It means all the way. Rejoice in the Lord all the way. Rejoice in the Lord always. And it's worth repeating. Watch this. Again, I say, rejoice. Now, here's a man in prison unjustly, and yet he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. And that's really the message of Philippians. There's so much doctrine here and so much of his personal testimony here, but the sense of it is joy. Rejoice, rejoice. Now, there's something else I would point out to you. Look, please, at verse 7. Verse 7, it says, and the peace of God. And then in verse 9, it says, in the latter part of the verse, the God of peace. The peace of God. In the text, you find the reason, the way to have peace with God as a believer. And so with peace with God, you have every reason to rejoice. Let's read it. Look, please, at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. As a devotional message tonight, a desire that we might all learn from this and rejoice in the Lord, I'll give you three words: supplication, meditation, and application. But first, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we are thankful tonight for a more sure word of prophecy. Light that shines in a very dark place. Help us to take heed. Help us to apply well what we know. Please work your will in our hearts and lives. And help us, Father, even in those difficult times of life, to rejoice in your presence and in the exceeding great and precious promises that you've given us. Father, we have requests tonight for so many folks that are suffering and so many folks that are not physically well and folks that are bereaved. And we ask you, Father, to give grace. We ask you to give comfort. We ask you to help each one. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen and amen. How to be at peace with God and how to rejoice in the Lord always. Number one, supplication. And you're exhorted to pray in verse 6. But look at verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your moderation. That doesn't mean to be a lukewarm Christian. That means be agreeable. That means be reasonable. That means deal with people graciously. That's what it means. It means to be agreeable. Bob Jones used to say, go as far as you can with any man. But there's a certain place we have to draw a line and say, I can go no farther. But let your moderation be known unto all men. Now watch this. The Lord is at hand. We should obey the Lord simply because He's the Lord. But one thing we should really remember, the Lord is at hand. His appearance, it is an unspecified time. And He comes when you least expect it. And so let Him find us busy. The Lord is at hand. But then look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Now watch it. Be careful for nothing. Listen, when you drive your automobile, put the device away and be careful. When you travel, be careful. When you're out and about in this old world today, be careful. But that's not what this means. This is not an exhortation concerning taking care as you go along life's journey. This is don't worry. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Now, here's the sense of verse 6 is this. Don't worry, pray. Turn your worrying into praying. That's the sense of it. And that, my friends, I'm going to say supplication. Supplication is to make request. And the latter part of the verse says, let your request be made known unto God. Supplication, it has to do with supply. What you need is supplication. Now watch this. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about it. Now be concerned and be wise and seek the will of the Lord and act as you should, but be careful for nothing. But in everything. When I was young in the Lord, I would think some of my issues are just too small for God. My Bible says everything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Brethren, I don't pray without giving thanks to God. I don't approach Him without thanksgiving because we have so much for which we should be grateful. We had our missions conference last week, and if you remember, Brother Samuel showed us a video of his work in villages in Kenya, Africa, where those people cook on an open flame with wood, where they gather water, they fetch water from the river, and it's contaminated. And I don't even think about water. I just always have it, plenty in abundance, plenty to consume, plenty to use to drink, plenty to clean. It's just, we take so much for granted. We have so much to be thankful for. Let your requests be made known unto God. But the Bible says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's a lot. By prayer, that's approaching the throne of God's grace in the name of our high priest, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. By prayer. We're here tonight, and this is our prayer meeting. In a little while, we're going to spend our time in prayer. By prayer and supplication. Supplication, well, that's making your request. Let your request be made known unto God. So the answer to this is replace worrying with prayer and to give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything give thanks. Now, notice please verse 7. And the God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, the God of peace. Do you know in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, He's also the God of all comfort, but He's the God of peace. to be at peace with Him, to be at peace in this old world. The God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are reconciled to God. You're at peace with Him. And then as you walk with Him and abide in Him and seek His will and examine yourself, you're at peace with Him in this life. The God of peace, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Number one, supplication, but then meditation. And I want you to notice the word think in verse 8, meditation. What do you think about? What do you think about? When my children were young and we'd sit at the dining room table in the evening, I'd work during the day, and in the evening we'd sit around the dining room table and we'd eat our supper and we'd quote this verse. I just thought it was so important, and I still do. It says, whatsoever things are of good report. Well, listen, the newspaper, the evening news, the blogs and podcasts and all that, brethren, it's bad news. The news is bad news. Bad news sells. But much of the news is truly, rightfully, bad news. Now listen, you and I, we need to be wise and we need to be well informed, but we need not be consumed with all this stuff. Be consumed with all this news and all this political uproar and all this division and all that. We've got to be wise. We need to be knowledgeable, but we don't have to be consumed with it. We're to think on these things. And this is so powerful. Finally, brethren, that's what the preacher said in chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, my brethren. And he keeps going. Now he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, you think about that, true. The world says that there's no truth. Everything is relative. But there is truth. Whatsoever things are true. The Word of God is true. My Savior is true. Whatsoever things are true, they're true. Whatsoever things are honest. I am so weary with deception and corruption and lying and deceiving and all of that. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Just. That is fair, right, balanced. The Lord is gracious and merciful. And God is love, but He's also just. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, virtue is moral purity, it's character, it's honesty, it's integrity. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, you're exhorted to add to your faith virtue. Whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, true, just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. There is a good report. It's called the good news. It's called the gospel. And brethren, there's so much more. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise. Now watch this. Think on these things. Think on these things. Think about these things. Meditate on these things. Think about these things. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And that takes an effort. I mean, we just naturally are distracted by so many things, and we're just naturally led in so many directions, and sometimes we have so many thoughts. I mean, this is a busy time. And sometimes there's just so many thoughts, we gotta just let that rest and bring every thought to obedience, to the obedience of Christ. Supplication, meditation. But then in verse 9, there's the application. Watch this. Those things. Now, the things here are not tangible. They're principles. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Watch this next word. Two letters. Do. Do. We sing a hymn, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Whatsoever things, those things which ye have both learned, the things you've been taught, the things you've learned as you have read and studied the Scriptures, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Those things which you have both learned and received, you acknowledge them. You said, that's right. I'm going to live by that. That's my conviction. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Paul's in prison, but he spent time there in Philippi, the chief city of Macedonia. And he said, the things you've seen in me, do, do. The things that you see me do, well, Paul, that put you in prison. Well, he was in the will of God, wasn't he? And we read in chapter 1, he's having a revival there in prison. How about that? Prison ministry. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. There's no substitute for obedience. Obedience. Not procrastination, not disobedience, not excuses, not distraction. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Do it. Obey. Do it. And the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, if you are practicing what you know, I know we all have struggles, I know we all have regrets, I know we all come up short, but if you are practicing what you know, the God of peace will be with you. In other words, you will have the favor of God on your life. I remind you of Genesis chapter 6, verse 8. The whole world is in sin and disobedience, and the world's in a position to be judged, and it was judged with the flood. But the Bible says this, Genesis 6, verse 8. You read it, 1 through 7, it's all negative. It's terrible. But you come down to verse 8, it says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How did Noah find grace in the eyes of the Lord when the whole world was positioned to be judgment? The Bible says Noah walked with God. How about Mary? Gabriel appeared to her, and she was frightened, and understandably so. Luke 1, verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. For thou hast found favor with God. Mary, you found favor with God. How did she find favor? She was virtuous. That's how she found favor. And in the passage, do the things that you know you're going to, do the things you should do, you're required to do. You've learned things, you've received things. I've acknowledged. I agree with that. Amen, preacher, I agree with that. Amen for the scriptures. Amen. I've received that. I've heard that. Now, do it. Do it. Practice what you know. Now, here's the sense of this. Watch this. You do those things and the God of peace will be with you. And this reminds me of something I've said so many times and you might be tired of it. But you do what you know and God will give you what you don't know. If you don't do what you know, how could you expect Him to lead you or guide you or give you anything more? You haven't used what He gave you. Be consistent. What is it? Be ye steadfast. My beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Be ye steadfast. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them, and the God of peace shall be with you. Supplication, meditation, application, that's the way to rejoice in the Lord always. But let's close with one other message, one other matter, not another message, another matter. If you notice in verse 7, you read about the peace of God. That's really important, the peace of God. But then in verse 9, you read the God of peace. There's peace of God. I want that peace. But then in verse 9, there's a God of peace. Now, understandably, you can't have the peace of God unless you know the God of peace. You can't have the peace of God. That peace in verse 7, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You can't have that peace, the peace of God, unless you know the God of peace. Now, how can you know Him? You know Him by obeying the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. Believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So an individual hears the truth of the gospel, preaching, they hear, and believes in the heart. Believes, I believe that. And then one more matter, makes a decision, calls upon the name of the Lord, and trusts the Lord Jesus. I expect tonight that's your testimony. Someone may be viewing this by live stream or later by recording, and maybe that's not your testimony. We need to get that settled. You cannot possibly claim the peace of God. Supplication, meditation, application. You can't claim the peace of God unless you know the God of peace. Now, in verse 6, Paul says, "But in everything by prayer." Dear friends, let's examine ourselves. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Maybe you've been downcast because of this, that, or the other. And maybe you have good reason. But it doesn't matter in the long run. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let's stand together for prayer. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. What would the Lord ask you tonight? What would be your application tonight? The application in the passage is do what you have learned and received and heard and seen. Do it. What's the application for you? Moreover, we agreed to pray for these many requests. If you need someone to pray with you, there's someone available. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for this evening and thankful for our church family and thankful for the way you've preserved and blessed this ministry through the years. With my many shortcomings and regrets and things that we've faced through the years, we are grateful for your goodness to us. And I'm grateful for each individual here tonight. Those that I know well and have served with me, and what a close friendship we have. And those that are perhaps new tonight. I pray that you'd work in our hearts and lives. I pray we'd use this time well and we'd use it in prayer. And that your will be accomplished in our hearts and lives. That we would do what we know. And then grow in grace. And you would lead and guide and help us. My Lord, I ask you to meet the needs of each one here tonight. I ask in my Savior's name. Every head bowed, please. Every eye closed. Let's use this time wisely. If you need someone to pray with you, there's someone available. But let's pray for these many requests. Also, let's examine ourselves. As our pianist plays softly.